I'm happy to be here and to worship with you this morning. As I went through that Sunday school hour, I need each one of you. I need you to speak into my life. That comment that Brother Jerry made mention about that we all have wise counsel. Everyone has wise counsel. We have a different background that we can come to. Maybe we don't always share our wise counsel we've received in our background. Maybe we don't even understand what for wise counsel we could give if we could understand the lessons that God has taken us through. But what do I have to share? So this morning, as I stand before you to preach this message, I don't want it to be me. But I want it to be God and His Word to speak to you. May God be faithful in that. I do have a burden that was, as I studied for this, that was laid on my heart. We are going to do a character study. I guess you could call it a character study. I have a preacher's book at home that says different types of preaching, and I'm not sure where to place it in it, okay? But we're going to look at a man in the Bible. He was a disciple. I've picked up a number of other disciples in my preaching so far. I think the last one was maybe about a year ago. It doesn't really matter. I preached on Judas. This morning, it's not going to be Judas. It's going to be a different disciple. And I appreciate that song that the little children chose. There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. He had many other disciples, but he chose 12 special ones. He had to work for them, and I went to look at one this morning. And so I thought of that song many times as I studied for this message. Jesus called disciples to follow him. Each brought with them their unique differences. Wise counsel. You notice why Jerry's comment about everyone has wise counsel? Because they have a background. That's why it stood out to me as that comment was made. Because as Jesus called the disciples to follow him, each had their unique background and unique differences. Each brought with them their different upbringings. Each brought with them their different experience in life. Each one had different experiences in the normal world, in the business world. They all had differences. And they brought it with them. And Jesus knew that. And so he had this group of men that he pulled out of his other disciples, and he said, "You 12 are going to be my special ones. I'm going to teach you more than what I am the others. And you're supposed to teach it, and you're supposed to carry the vision on." Who were they? These men were called from different occupation. There was fishermen, there was tax collectors, and the list could go on. It was definitely not a polished group of people. This morning, the one I want to talk about is the tax collector. Does somebody want to say his name? Matthew. Matthew is who we want to look at this morning. The tax collector. Let's go into I have 3 points for the message. And I'd like to take Matthew and look at him. Who was he before conversion? That's my first point. Who was he before conversion? And the second point is, who is he in conversion? And then, who is he after conversion? And so we want to look at that. And I use that word conversion as we go through as in these titles of these points. I am not planning on using to really just look at when his conversion experience happened. I'm not really going to go into that and how that totally affected him, but I'm using that word as a kind of to divide it up as we take this man, Matthew, and look at his life and try to look at what happened in his life and how it changed his life. And maybe to sum it up, who was he before he met Jesus, and who was he after he met Jesus, and who was he with Jesus? I guess we could have put that in there instead of that. So who was he before conversion? You can turn in your Bibles to Luke. Luke is writing here. If you know the book of Luke, anything about it, Luke was what they called a physician, and he was writing to the chapter 1, verse 3, Theophilus, and he seems to have this burden of there's nobody that took the time when Jesus was here on this earth. Nobody took a chronological order or took it in order and just wrote stuff down like they should have for you and I to have. And so Luke, the beloved physician, he was a writer and he was very scholarly, and he took it upon himself to do that, and he did a wonderful job at it. It's God's inspired word for us. And he took that into it. And I find it interesting that Luke, in his detailed writing to Theophilus, was very... If you go search in your concordance, the word publican, which is what that tax collector was. That's what Matthew was. Okay, that's what he was before his conversion experience. And if you go look at that, here we have Luke writing, and he wants to describe things that happened as Jesus was here, and it was, he made due note of the publicans and how Jesus related to them and worked with them and helped them. And so as we go into this, who Matthew was before his conversion, we can learn from Luke. Luke, as he wrote, has given us some glimpses into what publicans were, what these tax collectors were. And so we want to look at it at this time. Luke chapter 3, verse 12, we find the first one. As we think about who was Matthew, this is John the Baptist here, and we're going to look at what a publican was. And so let's read verse 10 on to verse 13. And people ask him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered and saith unto them, this is John the Baptist saying, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." We have a little glimpse here. As John the Baptist is talking to these publicans, and they came to him to be baptized. And he says this to them. Something I believe that he saw in their lives, something he saw that they needed in their lives as they came for that baptism. And he said this, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." It's these tax collectors. Be honest and fair in your business dealings. Because they had a reputation for not being. They had to pay into the government. And so as they paid into the government, to the Roman government, I have it somewhere later in my notes, but I feel like I should bring it in here. As they paid into the Roman government, and then after they prepaid that, and then they could go out, these tax collectors could go out, is what I understand it. They could go out and they could, under the Roman government, charge tax to people. And so they're making they're making their living this way. And they could overcharge people. And they tended to do that. Going beyond fair in their business dealings. They wanted to make a profit. They wanted to pad their pockets, so to speak. And the money was important to them. And they struggled with being honest. That was what Matthew was, as we go on and read in this next... We'll turn over to Luke chapter 5. We have where he meets us. This man. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. "After these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." And Levi is the name for Matthew there. If you change that over, it is Matthew. I didn't study into why Luke records it as Levi, but here we have it. We saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. This is this Matthew we're talking about. This is this publican. I almost said politician, but this publican, this tax collector that had unfair dealings with people. This is this tax collector that treated people unfairly. And Jesus said unto him, follow me. Jesus called him. Let's go to the second one. Who is he before conversion? Well, these publicans were ones that people did not like to associate with. I am told that when Pharisees, scribes came past, and there's a publican there, you walk by, you lift your nose up, and you walk right on by, because we're so much better than them. That's how they related to these people. Their association with them, people's association with them was less than desirable. To associate with a publican was less than desirable. Let's go ahead and read this account. I stopped right after verse 27, and I'm going to use this passage going out through the message here. Let's just go ahead and read these verses, and I want to pull in this and here, I want to pull a couple thoughts from later on here. So let's read from verse 27 to verse 30, I believe. Now let's read to verse 32. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't care about his relationship with this publican. He knew who he was, the same as he knows who you are and who I am. He knows that. There was dislike and despise between the Pharisee and publicans. And in this account here, we see where the publicans were named with sinners. Named with sinners. You see in verse 29, there was a discussion there, publicans and others. Whoever, maybe Luke as he was writing, he just said with others. But when the scribes and Pharisees came along, and in verse 30, they put it how they felt it was. It's publicans and sinners. And they tended to pass judgment on these people. But Jesus saw the heart. He saw these less than desirable, and he loved them. We could go to Luke 18 as we think about the despise that the Pharisees had for the publicans. And we have that Pharisee and the publican that went up into the temple to pray. Pharisee said, at least I've done all these good things, and at least I'm not like this publican over here. This disgusting man over here. This one that cheats. This one that is less than desirable. This one that is a tax collector. Well, that's who this Matthew was that we're going to study about. As Jesus called him. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We have another glimpse into the life of a publican. Children, you know this account. This is that man that we like to maybe sing about sometimes. And that's Zacchaeus. Okay, we know that account. That short man that wanted to see Jesus and he couldn't because of the crowd of people, the press that was there. But in chapter 19, verse 2, I want to pull out this about it. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. The publicans must have had somebody that was in charge of things. That was Zacchaeus in this account. I don't believe Matthew was in those shoes. But he was there. And as he was part of that, I believe he could say, as what we see with Zacchaeus here, that he was rich. To make lots of money was the publican's push and drive in life. Now, history tells us that most publicans were Romans. Again, this is history. I can't totally verify that. The source I was reading said that mostly publicans were Romans. The patriotic, loyal Jews refused to hold such an office. Now and then, however, one moved by greed would betray his own people. He would take the office of a tax collector in order to enrich himself. Such was Matthew. He has left the Jewish. He's kind of put that back there. He's a publican now. He wants money in life. He's doing it to enrich himself. That's who Matthew was before conversion. Now you can turn in your Bibles back to Luke chapter 5, and I want to notice something there as Jesus called him there. He is sitting there in that booth, or whatever it is, receipt of custom. I didn't look what they usually do. But he's sitting there. And I find it interesting because it's only in Luke that it's recorded this way. That if in verse 27, as it says there, went forth and saw a publican named Levi. And now that word saw is different than what it is in Matthew and in Mark. It goes to a different Greek word. And I found it interesting that this word that they use here in the Greek form carries more the idea that they didn't just see him, but they saw, look closely at. The word is theaomai. And it means to look closely at. So I see Matthew here. He's in his receipt of customs. He's there doing his work. It's what he wants to do to get further in life. And suddenly, there's this man staring intently in his eyes. He made eye contact. He looked closely at him. And Jesus said, "Follow me." We don't have Jesus here this morning, but he's saying the same to you and I. He's looking for us and saying, "Follow me." Let's go to the second point in the message. Who was he in conversion, or as a follower of Jesus? Who was he? Well, we have this call to follow. And if you go and look into those words, those two words that we have in the King James Version, to follow, you can get the impression that says Jesus is saying to him, "Be joined to me as a disciple. Side with my party. Come on this side of the fence. Be with me." This call that Jesus gave to this man Matthew wasn't without its place for excuses. We like to make excuses today, or seems like I like to. Wasn't without its place for excuses. I mean, here was Jesus. I'm sure there's a lot of people around here. I'm sure there's a lot of tax to be collected. Here's my chance to make money. I got all these people. And tax them. Now, I'd like to leave the book of Luke now, and go back to Matthew chapter 9. This is the man that we're talking about that's writing this book. This Matthew chapter 9. Matthew is writing about his own experience. And I'd like to just take the time to read this. It's pretty much word for word, but I just want to, again, think about it as I read it. This is Matthew, the one that was sitting there when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And he's writing about this. Because why? Well, you think about that. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw that, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth: I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so Matthew writes about himself, and I think he placed himself there as he wrote about it. He viewed himself for the sinner he was. He knew his life. He knew his desire for greed and for gain. He knew that. But I'd like to pull out of here, Matthew also knew, as he told Jesus in his request for him to follow, that he arose and followed him. Matthew knew that it took that same thing from you and I. Don't matter whether it's Matthew that we're studying about, or whether it's Ronald Smith, don't matter whether it's Nelson, don't matter whether it's Delbert, anybody. When Jesus calls you to follow him, you need to get up and follow him. Simple obedience. He understood when he wrote this that it requires the same for every follower of Jesus Christ through the ages. When Jesus calls to follow him, it needs obedience. Simple obedience called him to change his plans for the day, week, year, lifetime. You know, if you study in the disciples, Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Matthew was just in the group of all the other disciples, and it was more than 12. He was part of the big group of disciples. And Jesus, you Bible readers, if you study that and you realize that later on Jesus said, these 12 are my special disciples. These are the ones. But he, whose simple obedience called him to change his plans that day and on out through, as Jesus called him more and more. Here he was, he had paid his dues to the Roman government. Now he was going to collect from the people, but Jesus said, "No, here's where you go." Life looked promising and prosperous. Financially, he was on the road to prosperity, but Jesus called, "Be joined to me as a disciple and side with my party." And he answered it. Well, when did life start to change for Matthew? It was when he met Jesus. Our lives too today will be changed. There will be change in us when we open ourselves up to Jesus. We can try to change our own. We can try to change our lives by ourselves. I've seen myself do it. We try and we fail. Brothers and sisters, true victory and true following Jesus is when we open ourselves up, come to the end of ourselves, and let Jesus take control and his leading in your life. You can have victory, and there'll be change in your life. You can try to change it on your own, but often it will end in defeat. We often find ourselves failing because we're trying on our own. But Jesus transforms us. He changes us. Now, I'd just like to take the time and go through some as we think of Matthew walking with Jesus and following with Jesus there. He was in his conversion experience. He was in his experience with Jesus, and he's walking with them. And so we're going to go read some verses and see once what he says in these verses. We know Matthew chapter 5. Matthew is writing about that Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know in this account. I didn't look at the chronological order of it. Maybe Matthew wasn't here at this time. I don't know. But either way, Matthew chapter 5 verse 46. And if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And so Matthew writing here as he listened to Jesus' words and as he was expounding these words and putting them into writing, he realized that as Jesus, he knew what publicans were. And he's saying, in Jesus' words, he knew the love that publicans had for those that gave willingly. He knew that. Matthew knew that. And Jesus, as he was preaching there, and Matthew heard, I believe, that discourse, and he knew what he was talking about. He knew the relationship that was between one another as fellow publicans. Matthew knew that. He was part of them. And he knew of the dislike from the Pharisees. He knew that. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans. Did we not? Matthew saying, with Jesus is saying, did we not do that as a publican as well? We knew each other. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to go back and just pull something that I want to rivet in our minds as we think of Matthew. Everyone has their unique place, as we said. Everyone has their history to bring with them as they go through life. And we have this here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus sat at meat in this man Matthew's house. Jesus just called him to come follow me, and here we go. Verse 10, and many Jesus sat at meat in the house, Matthew's house. Matthew just seems to open up his house. We have open house here. And many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. He knew what it was like of opening up himself. Opening up himself in his house. And he opened his house up to his friends, his friend publicans, his friend sinners, and he invited Jesus and his friends to eat at his house. It's noteworthy to me in studying this that every writer, you can go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John don't write about it. You can go Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Every one of them records that Matthew opened up his house and fed Jesus and the other disciples, and this publicans and sinners sat down with him. It must mean something. It meant something to them. It was unheard of. You had never gotten a Pharisee to do this. You never would have. But Jesus did, as he called Matthew. And Jesus' love, as he called him to follow him, Matthew was willing. He opened his house up. He didn't choose select friends and say, oh, I want you and you because you'll be a good representation for me. And the rest of you, just stay away for now. No, it was anybody, I believe. He opened his house up, willing. And Jesus was willing as well to eat with publicans and sinners. And he wants you and I today, he's calling us to come. And that's his. He reaches across that gap and calls those that are sinners and publicans, whatever you've done, to come to him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. This is the list of, Matthew is writing about the list of the other 12 apostles that were chosen there. And we go down through verse 3. And Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. Matthew's writing about himself. And I can't help but think that Matthew just looked at himself and said, I'm Matthew, but I'm a publican. I'm a nobody. I don't know why God's using me. But he's called me. He called me to follow him. And he's wondering, how did he get called to be a special disciple? What was happening? Well, God in his love knew Matthew. Take the Bible and remove Matthew out of it and think about it. It's complete, but not really. I enjoy reading Matthew. Jesus knew in choosing Matthew, he needed him to pen the words for us today. He was an outcast in the religious world, but now he's a called brother. Well, Christ knew what he could be, and he knows what you and I can be. And let's be faithful in being that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. We're looking again at Matthew as he was there walking with Jesus. And he's following Jesus. And he's learning about Jesus. And he's there and Jesus is speaking there. And we're breaking into these passages, but we aren't going to have time to read them. So we're going to break in verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And I believe, Matthew, you can relate to that. That was me. Jesus is a friend of publicans and sinners. He's a friend of everyone. He wants to be close to you, but he can't tolerate sin. And so we must deal with the sin issue to be a close friend of Jesus. We could go to that Matthew 18, verse 17. Matthew writes about that heathen man and the publican. He knew what it was like to be on the outside, but he also knew how good it felt to be on the inside. Oh, yes, he did. Let's turn to the last, or Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read two verses here. Let's go to another one of when Jesus is speaking. Matthew's walking with him, and he's hearing Jesus speak into his life. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Let's read verse 28. What think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterwards he repented and went. He came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. I'd like to bring it back again. As Matthew was listening here to Jesus speaking, he realized that the same thing as when Jesus called him, that simple obedience was needed in him, for him in everyday life, no matter what part of his walk with God was. When Jesus calls you to follow him, he needed to follow. And he's saying in these verses, Jesus is saying, you Pharisees, you're not, you finally realize, or you can see that you're wrong, but you're not changing. Putting it in my own words, maybe there's a better explanation for it. But Matthew realized that the same obedience is needed to follow him is what the Pharisees needed. It's what the religious people of that day. And when God says, go, Matthew was ready to say, yes, sir. And when God said, come to him, he said, yes, sir. Matthew walked with God, or with Jesus here on this earth, and was filled with many times of relation to what his past life was and to where he was now, and was chosen as a special individual. Who is he after conversion? The last one. I'd like to go back to Luke chapter 5. I have all three passages wrote down here. I wasn't sure where to take this one, but I want to go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We didn't read the passage in Mark 2. He says much the same thing as what Matthew recorded. You can read that sometime, Mark 2, 14 through 17. But Matthew chapter 5 again. As we came to this account, and I'd like to highlight again This fact that I touched on before, that Matthew had a way with people. He had friends in his publicans and sinners group, and he opened up his house to them. He had friends that were sinners. He had friends yet that were publicans. And he invited Jesus and his friends to eat in his house. We find this in Luke chapter 5 here. I see Matthew and his love for people. I want to highlight again. Verse 29. And Levi, Matthew, made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? He opened his house up. It was part of Matthew. Matthew, his love for people, he brought that with him from his old life. And he used it in a way to put others that were in need of Jesus in touch with him. Was this part of his leaving all? Think about it. And he left all and followed him. Was this part of his leaving all? I don't know. No longer holding it for himself, he's giving to others. It's illustrations, or it's examples for us as we think of Matthew. He made a great feast in his own house. Oh, I don't want that. It's going to mess my house up. Then I got to clean up after them. Willing to give. That was Matthew. He opened his own house, and it wasn't just for a select few, it was for all. And invited only a select few that would make a good impression on Jesus? No, he didn't. He opened it up. Why them people? What's wrong with this man? He didn't do that. He opened it up. I believe Matthew realized who he was and what he was called from. And if Jesus can love me, Matthew, and me, Ronald, and you put your name there. And if Jesus can love, he can love anyone that walks through my house and into my life. Did you get the glimpse? We need to be more like Matthew and realize that no matter who comes into your life, God's love that he had for you in calling you to follow him will bridge the gap for that sinner, for that one that is disgusting of humanity, the one that is hard to relate to. He can love. Jesus loves everyone. And Jesus sat down at that table with those publicans and sinners, the disgusting of humanity. People didn't like him. And he sat down and he related to them. God help us to do that in our lives today. We dare not start turning up our noses at people and start being like a Pharisee. So easy for me, I look at my own life, it's so easy to say, well, I want to get there. No, we must. We must bridge the gap. God pronounced great judgment on the Pharisees for turning up their noses and not relating to the people about them and being too goody-goody for them. He did. They totally missed the way of salvation because of it. He pronounced great judgment on them, and he will on us if we don't get the vision of reaching the lost. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We have Matthew writing again. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19 and 20. Matthew is the one that records this right at the end of his book. He is the one that records it there. Because I believe Matthew realized that this is the last admonition that we needed in life. Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Go. Teach. Bridge the gap. Do what it needs to go there. Teach and reach by life, by example, and the personal touch. Open your house up. Be willing to get your hands dirty. Closing thoughts about Matthew. Much of Matthew's life, later life, is uncertain. Tradition states, and I'm getting this from some sources. I didn't call Brother Edwin Eby and search it, but there's Pilgrim has a pamphlet out, a study book on the disciples, and I get some of this reading here from that book. Brother Edwin Eby has wrote that book, that study booklet, but I'm going to read this. Much of Matthew's later life is uncertain. Tradition states that he preached for approximately 15 years in Jerusalem after the death and resurrection of Jesus, before going on the mission field to other countries. Legend says that he died as a martyr in witnessing for Christ. And so I pulled my martyr's mirror off the shelf. Martyr's mirror states that Matthew was nailed to the earth in India. He wasn't at Jerusalem anymore. He was willing to go and to be where the Lord would have him to be. Jesus said, "Matthew, come, follow me. Come, be my disciple, join me, side with my party." It's not going to be really a party. But you'll have me.
And Matthew did that. And he gave his life for Christ. Are you and I willing to go to that point with God? Are you willing to give your life in service for Him? We do not know that when God called him, let me read that again. We do know that when God called him, he was willing to follow. Let's be faithful in being willing to follow as well. A few questions for us that I've penned down here. What about you and I today? Am I, are you following God? The call is still there. Are you struggling with the fact that God would call a sinner like you? Are you struggling with assurance of salvation? God called Matthew a sinner, a publican. He was faithful in Matthew's life, and he will be faithful in yours if you let him. If we are following God, is it producing a concern for others that they may see Jesus? Or are we too high for that? We don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to get that personal touch too close to people. In our family devotions, I'm going to read these in closing. We've been reading through Fruitful Families, I believe it is. And Sim Yoder put on the children's story for Sunday evening some time back about George Washington Carver. And Booker T. Washington, so I think you know who I'm talking about. But in our family devotions there was some reading about that. And so I'm going to take Booker T. Washington first and read that. He was a meek man and one that was willing to give. Booker T. Washington, who was born a slave, but who became a great educator, founding the Tuskegee Institute. He served as its principal and advised President Roosevelt. After he had become a prominent and influential figure, a woman one day called out to him as he walked down the street. He was a black man in that time, and viewed as slave. She did not recognize him and yelled, "Hey, you, come in here and chop some wood." Washington cheerfully turned onto her sidewalk, took off his coat, and chopped the wood. He carried it into the house before leaving. A servant girl recognized him and told her employer who he was. The woman was dismayed and appalled at how she had treated this great African American. She immediately went to apologize. "It is quite all right, ma'am," he replied. "I delight to do favors for my friends." And now one from George Washington Carver. Two men that came together. George Washington Carver was a great scientist and inventor who, standing along a street in Alabama, a white woman thought he was a poor black laborer looking for work. She called out to him to paint her fence. "Sure, I'd be happy to," he said. After several hours, a friend told the woman who he was. She was horrified at her mistake and apologized for her attitude. He replied, "That's okay. I didn't have much to do today. I'm very happy to paint your fence." I think Matthew, as he was called and Jesus called him to follow, he was willing to give, the same as these two people of history were. And so the question I want to leave is, what about you and I? Are you willing to give? When God calls, he's still calling, "Come follow me." And you say, "Yes, Lord." Are you willing to go the whole way? Let's kneel for prayer.